Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Hi everyone, Chris Cousins here from Sports Recruiting USA. We've got a really special short podcast to share with you. We were recently featured on the United Soccer Coaches podcast, and our very own Don Williams, the head of operations for the Americas, was interviewed by Anna Whitty, and she asked him all about who Sports Recruiting USA were, what we do, and everything else in between. So if you've ever wondered what we do, then this episode will hopefully answer that question. And yeah, it's about 20 minutes long, but if you're thinking of joining us or just want to know more about us, then definitely worth listening to. Any questions at all, you know where we are, just DM us or email us info@siusasoccer.com and we'll hopefully get back to you really soon. Thanks guys, take care.
Welcome into the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. I'm Anna Whitty, joined today by Don Williams, the head of operations for Sports Recruiting USA and host of the Inside College Soccer Podcast. He is also an agent at the Sports Recruiting USA. Don, thanks so much for joining us today. I know you didn't play college soccer, so how did you become a college soccer coach?
So I grew up in the 80s, and college soccer wasn't quite what it is now. I played soccer my whole life. So I've been playing since I was 8 years old, ended up getting married very, very young, 20 years old. So when I got into coaching because of my kids, like a lot of people, and people found out that I actually had a background growing up, which not a lot of coaches in those days had a background growing up with the game. And so I started taking all my licenses. I think it was at my C license. I did a goalkeeping session for the group because they didn't have a goalkeeper instructor, really. And so they had me do it. One of the candidates with me asked me to come coach with her. Her name was Lisa Bestsellers at the time, Lisa Kowalski now, but I started coaching at Cal State East Bay. Throughout my career, I coached at NAIA, NCAA, I've coached Division II, Division III, I've coached junior college, short stint coaching in the pros, goalkeepers, with a team called the Bay Area Seals back in what they called the A-League, which would be like USL Championship now. That was it. So I ended up with a 30-something year career coaching and 22 years in college, like you said. And in 2018, when I decided enough was enough, stepped away and then took over this role as head of operations for the Americas, my territories from Argentina to the Canadian border for Sports Recruiting USA.
So when you said you took over this aspect of Sports Recruiting USA as an agent, what do you specifically do for them?
We're trying to find the right fit for kids and for college coaches. So between myself and my staff, we probably have 300 years of college coaching experience, and everything from national championships at Indiana and Big Ten and SEC and Big 12 and on down to the Western schools and the Eastern schools. We've got a lot of variety, Division III, like I said, and NAIA and junior college coaches. We know a lot of people. So we kind of know what these college coaches want, and we work with them to find what they're looking for. And then we find matches for them. I don't know. Maybe we're match.com of the college world. Those in the business world know the term headhunters. We're kind of like headhunters for colleges. So we kind of act like an unofficial assistant coach, bringing them the players they need. But at the same time now, we have the family and we have their needs. So, you know, kids have specific academic needs. Families have specific financial constraints quite often. Certain playing abilities match certain conferences and certain schools. Well, they might not be a good match for other conferences and other schools. So we're playing matchmaker. And so that's what we do as an agent. And then for the family, we're there to advise and help and place. But we do the heavy lifting for them. So, you know, the hardest part is kids are going to tournaments and emailing every college coach that's at the tournament. Well, that's one of 1,000 emails that those coaches got that week. Things can get lost in the mix sometimes. There's 500,000 kids or so in an age that all, if you go ask them at tournaments, they're all saying they want to play in college. So, but there's only 8,000 openings or 9,000 openings on the women's side. So it's not easy. So we do the heavy lifting and the connecting and then the advising and then the placement. So that's what we do as college placement agents.
It's so difficult too, when you are in that high school stage as well, where you also have to handle the recruiting. So it's cool that you guys can be the almost mediator, like the headhunter, like you said, in between the college coaches, the club coaches, and the parents as well. But before you even start working with these athletes, how do you get them on board with you?
Well, most of our clients come to us through our scouting network. So we have over 100 mm-hmm. scouts that have all at least played in college, many of them coached in college or been involved at the higher levels, the pro levels. And so they're scouting all over the world. We have offices in Colombia and Africa, in England and Ireland, and then all over the United States and Canada and into Mexico, all throughout the US. So a lot of them come to us through scouting networks. Yes, parents reach out all the time. Kids reach out all the time. Can you help me? Can you help me? Honestly, we brought in, you know, we bring in a couple hundred kids a year between the guys and the girls side combined, roughly. But we go through about 10,000 kids a year that want us to represent the agency. We just can't. We just can't represent those kinds of numbers because it's a very labor-intensive, hands-on task that we take on. We're a very boutique agency. It's very unusual and unique, I think. Very few like us in the world. Can't help everybody. We just can't. We'd like to, but we can't.
Because of that, and you can only take on so many people, when do you recommend them to reach out to your agency and to make sure that they can work with you when they go into the recruiting process?
Mid-freshman going into the sophomore year is ideal, and that gives us the chance to see them in person probably 4, 5, 6, 7 times before placement time comes. This idea that a 6th, 7th, or 8th, or even going into that 9th grader needs to have somebody helping them is ridiculous. I don't think it's necessary. No college coach is out there really scouting, except for the national team kids that they're keeping a track of. They're not really scouting freshmen, and they're not scouting 8th graders, and they're not scouting 7th graders. Maybe that's still going on in basketball, but these college coaches can't even talk to a kid until beginning of their sophomore year. And on the girls' side, it's about a year roughly ahead on the recruiting cycle of where the guys' side is. With the guys, we're trying to see how much growth is happening between 16, 17, 18 years old. On the girls' side, typically, not always, but they're typically done growing by 15, 16, at least height-wise. Now it's just how strong do they get and how much more soccer playing maturity will they have and individual maturity will they have. All of that will continue to grow. Strength will continue to grow. But we still have a general idea of the frame of the athlete that we're dealing with on the girls' side by 15, 16. But the guys' side, that might not happen until 20, 21, 22. So the guys' side is trying to see how close they can come to having a player that can play with 21, 22-year-old men. And the women's side is trying to see how close we can get to the girl being able to compete with 20, 21, 22-year-old women and be able to impact the game. So I think sophomore year is like perfectly ideal, absolutely spot on ideal for us to consider working with a client.
When you get a sophomore to come into your agency and they're starting to look at colleges, figure out what they want to do after soccer, what is the first thing you do with these athletes when it comes to the actual overall search?
Yeah, it's exactly like a college coach does. So give me your highlight film. Let me see if there's anything here worth digging farther into. Send me full match film. Let me watch a couple of matches and see if the highlights match what I see in the match film. Then it has to be interview the family and then interview the players right in there with it, because I'm trying to see if their playing abilities are, you know, a mid-level D2, but their aspirations are Stanford and UCLA and all Wake Forest and all the big names in the nation. And I can't get them to understand that what their abilities are don't match and they won't agree. It's clearly we're not a right fit for them. They're going to have to find somebody else to help them, because it's every time I pick up the phone, it's my reputation on the line. Every time my college coach, if I don't make the right recommendations 1, 2, 3 times in a row, they'll stop picking up the phone like everybody else. I just become spam like everybody else does, because they get yanked at from all these club coaches are yanking at them. All these players are yanking at them. All these parents are yanking at them from all directions. And it gets very overwhelming for college coaches when they're getting 1,000 emails in a week. Their phone won't stop ringing and they won't stop getting texts. And it's not easy. We try not to be part of that spam process. We've contacted Florida State twice about two players over all of the years that I've been involved and we've been involved. And both times they took both players. So we try to be that spot on. We try to be that targeted and that pinpoint that coach now doesn't think of us as another waste of their time, right? So once we come to that agreement, Anna, then we can, as long as the players' expectations and the family expectations align with the picture that we see, then we can start targeting schools that fall within that range of that player's abilities, academic abilities, family financial abilities, and then that player's personality and what jives with them, what makes their motor run, and what doesn't. Some players fit in New York City. Other players would fall apart in New York City. Some players fit in Houston, Texas. Other players would fall apart in Houston, Texas. And it goes that way all throughout the country.
You kind of mentioned it. These coaches get pulled in 1,000 different directions. They also are soccer coaches. They have their own current players they have to deal with. So when you're an athlete or an agent reaching out to these college coaches, what do you need to do to set yourself apart from everyone else who's trying to get in contact with them?
Number one, cell phones are best. Text is best. Personal DMs. Some of our coaches like to work via DM or WhatsApp. Every coach in the country gets the private list of our players once a week, but that we try to hold that to the maximum of just blasting out coaches. Every once in a while, I have to. I don't have a choice. Maybe a player comes in to be late, really late. And so I've got to just hit as many as we can, as fast as we can. But for the most part, it's a very individualized outreach with coaches that we have relationships with as a group. And so that's the nice thing about having 100 of us. I think now we're probably 2 phone calls away from any coach in the nation, because we have a lot of staff that has these small individual relationships in certain areas. So I have an Ohio specialist, right? I have an Ivy League and a Little Ivy specialist in the company. They live in those areas. They're around those coaches every day, and they're well-respected by those coaches, and we can get quick answers from those coaches. Yes, no, or maybe on every player. Yes is great. That's fine. Coaches will reach out to the player right away. No is fine. Then the family can scratch it off the list. Maybe, how do we turn that maybe into a yes or no as quickly as possible would be the question with the maybe. And then whatever the coach tells us, we tell the family. And if it's come to my camp, then it's come to my camp. If the family says, no, I don't want to go to the camp, then tell the coach, thank you very much. And the player moves on. Trying to get answers. I think the scariest part for families, Anna, is how many times do I email this coach? How many times do I contact that coach? How many times do I email that coach? How many times do we reach out? What does it mean when a coach only invites us to their camp? Is that truly a level of interest that's worth pursuing? Or am I just being invited to a camp so that they can feed their family? Coaches sometimes need some reading between the lines. And sometimes we just need to pick up the phone and call the coach and go, hey, look, they can't go to every camp. Are you serious? Because they're serious. They're deadly serious about you. And it's just getting those answers.
And also going to camps costs money as well. So being cost effective throughout this entire recruiting process is smart. But just like every industry, there's always things changing. Things are evolving. Where do you see the recruiting process in college soccer headed in the next 5-ish years?
Well, that's a good question. I think what we are doing has made enough waves throughout the country. Other agencies will start popping up that are going to do the same thing. And if they're reputable and have a good relationship with these coaches, and I think there's plenty of room in the marketplace for others. I think that's one area. Video has become a huge deal. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it wasn't as big of a deal as it is now. I mean, it's always been around and it's always been used, but it's so simple now for players to share a link. Unlike when my son was going to school, we were recording VHS tapes and copying full matches from one and going start, stop on VHS tapes, and then shipping a VHS tape off to a coach. And then it was DVDs. And now it's so simple. And players can get their own YouTube channels for free. They can start their own websites for free. The digital age of recruiting has made a mark. Social media has made a mark. Although I think it's become a little bit of spam now because I see these kids, I don't know, I've got almost 7,000 followers on Twitter and I follow a bunch of people and I see, you know, some player, hey coach, I'm going to be playing at this tournament this weekend, and they'll tag 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 coaches. But I realize probably 1,000 kids are doing that. So at that point, kind of spammy also. But I think digital, the social media platforms have probably made an impact to some extent. Where it goes past that, I don't know. What's the next technological breakthrough that we all have?
That's the world's biggest question right now, right?
It's happening fast, isn't it? The world's changing very quickly. So I don't know what the 10 years from now, but I can tell you with what we're seeing going on right now is certainly the next 2, 3, 4 years, probably.
The one thing that makes Sports Recruiting USA so unique is you guys don't just help college recruiting placement. I also noticed you help kids transferring and you also help people in gap years. So I saw where high school gap years, college gap years, and then the gap year after college. Why is that an area that you guys specialize in?
It's a need. Look, all we're doing is listening to what the public says that the problems are and then trying to provide solutions, right?
What are the service industry.
Well, the problems are, okay, maybe we'll start at the beginning. So a kid graduates high school, they're 18 years old. A lot of the European players that are coming into the college system, about 30% of the NCAA players and NAIA players are from another country on the men's side, and about 12% on the women's side. And they're coming into the country. And in Europe, a gap year is quite a common thing, right? So I've spent all of these years in schooling. Let me go get a job in Italy. Let me go live there for a little. Let me figure out who I am before I settle down and decide to go to school and what I want to study. And I think it results in a happiness factor. We read that, you know, the happiest countries in the world happen to be in Europe. I think part of the reason is that kids are going and spending a year doing service, going into the service, or they're spending time, sometimes mandatory in these countries, they don't have a choice, and some of the Scandinavian countries especially. But kids are taking gap years and kids are exploring the world a little bit. They're finding out who they are before they then know what they want to study and then what they want to go into. Here in the United States, we tend to shove our kids straight into college right away. Here, you're 18 years old, get out of the house, go to college, go do your thing. And sometimes it's not the right fit for every kid. Some kids, it's fantastic, it works great for. Other kids, it doesn't. And so what we're trying to do is take a look at the individual rather than treat everybody as a group and say, everybody as a group should be doing this. Everybody as a group should be doing that. The gap year is part of that. So that's what the gap year is about. And it lets these kids grow up and mature a little bit. And then the Americans, the domestic players that do come back into the college system aren't entering as an 18-year-old. They're entering as a 19 or 20-year-old. And they can compete better with the juniors and seniors that are already in college because they're more physically, emotionally, mentally, and soccer, technically, tactically, physically, and mentally mature than they would be at 18. And they find greater levels of success, less bench time, more playing time. And any soccer player knows that there's only 11 players at any one time that are happy. It's the ones that are on the field. The rest of them are not happy. No matter what they say, they're not happy. With very few exceptions. And there are even those exceptions. I've met players that have played at Virginia and have national championship rings on their finger and they played a grand total of 0 minutes in 4 years, but said they wouldn't change it. That player is a rare, rare beast. I don't like to talk about the 0.25%. So I like to talk about the other 99% more often. So that's part of it. Transfer process is, look, it's complicated. At any time right now, there's over 1,000 kids on the transfer portal that are NCAA players. Then you've got NAIA players that are trying to transfer. Then you've got junior college players that are transfer. There's about 2,000 to 3,000 players in the United States that are looking, maybe 4,000. They're looking to transfer at any given moment at any point in time. So that part becomes complicated. If those players need our help, clearly something went wrong the first time, or they wouldn't be transferring. Something wasn't the right fit, with the exception of the junior college kids. Sometimes they need advice. And they are in high demand from college coaches, by the way. A more mature 20-year-old than an 18-year-old who's an unknown factor is somewhat interesting. I think as a college coach, the concern that I have with the transfer portal is, so why is this kid transferring? Is it just it wasn't the right fit, or is it the coach wasn't the right coach for the kid, or is that kid a problem child, which is what we're freaking out about. That's the part we're trying to dig to. It's like, yeah, you're transferring because, and this happens in the United States. Are you transferring because you got in trouble, because you're late to practice every day, because you showed up drunk to a volleyball game with your friends? Is that why you're transferring? That happens in this country, not a big percentage, Anna, but you played in college. Come on. You saw kids that didn't have their crap together, didn't you? You know what I'm talking about.
Right. And some people show up to a college at 18 years old and they figure out that academically it's not the right fit, athletically it's not the right fit, and then they have to scramble. You don't have the same amount of time that you did in high school to figure out where you want to go to next, and maybe they're not even sure what they want to do academically. So how do you support those kids when they have such a small window to figure out their next step?
In order for us to agree to represent a transfer kid, all of the stars have to align and they have to understand, I am going to call their coach. I am going to get word from their coach exactly why, from the coach's perspective, that this player wasn't a right fit. And now if the player's story and the coach's story match, I have no problem helping this kid. Quite often I find the stories don't match and I'm not taking sides. But at that point, I can't represent that player because they have to know that any college coach worth a grain of salt is going to call that college coach too. So they're going to hear the same story from the player, and then they're going to hear the same story from the coach. And that kid's got very little chance of making it through this transfer process if that coach says, no, not a good kid. I would not recruit that kid again.
Because of everything that you do at Sports Recruiting USA, you help with transfers, you help with the gap years, you help high schoolers figure out where they're going to college. How have you seen your experience as a college coach at so many different levels help you with your job as an agent?
Oh, my Lord. I could not do this job if I hadn't coached college at all those levels. And I'm the luckiest man in America. How many guys get to stay at one school in California and coach NAIA D3, and D2 all at the same school? It's like, you know, I didn't have to move my family. So I'm very lucky there. And really, even more than that now, Anna, now that I've been this for 3 years, going on 4 years, what I've learned in this job is unbelievable. To be able to place a kid at a Kentucky and or at a Florida State and get to hear from the kids the insider scoop about these programs and these coaches and the culture, then gives me, and, you know, since I've been here, you know, we've been involved in 500-600 kids finding homes just since I've been involved in 2018. And we keep in touch with these kids and these families. We provide pastoral care throughout the 4 years. I can't provide the same agency care, but I can provide pastoral care. So when these kids call me and they have a problem, it's like, hey, I want to talk to the coach, Don, about this subject. How would you do it? How would you approach it? How would you want to hear it as a college coach? Because I've got this delicate issue that I need to talk about. And so we've talked to our kids once, twice, three times, four times a year. Some of my kids call me every other month and they're already in college. And I get to learn a lot about the programs, the fitness programs, and, you know, it all gets logged. We keep track of all of it. We pay attention to which coaches are abusive and which coaches are nurturing. Honestly, the abusive coach could be the right fit for this certain kind of a kid. I know kids that like to be yelled at, screamed at. They like that drama. They feed off of it and they play better and they fit fine in that environment. Then I know other coaches that would, or kids that would wilt in that environment, and it's just not what they want. Yeah, we get to learn all that stuff. It's kind of fun.
Right. It sounds like you have a huge log of different things you've learned over the years as well. And not only do you do all of those things with Sports Recruiting USA, but you also host a podcast, Inside College Soccer Podcast. What's the mission behind the podcast?
Education. Look, everything we do is revolved around education. I agreed to go into the education industry going on 26 years ago now. And I can't break that mold. It's not like I can break who I am and what I've learned and what I've developed. So us as a company believe that there's a lot of false information going on out there. We know there is. Now we believe. We hear it. We see it every day. And it doesn't align with reality. And so by bringing on the guests that we bring on, every guest we bring on is about education. So whether it's Erica Sutter, who does, she has a big social media press around fitness for women, soccer players specifically. And so, you know, when we're doing a podcast with her later on today, and we brought in Dan Abrahams, the world famous sports psychologist, and we've talked about sports psychology, or we brought in Bobby Clark, who's won national championships and coached at Notre Dame and Stanford and Dartmouth, Mark Carr, who's coached at Oklahoma. And, you know, we bring in these calls and we ask them questions that if you listen to what everybody's saying and you do the overlay, right, and you stack one on top of another, you get a very clear and accurate picture from an insider's point of view of what college soccer is all about, thus the name Inside College Soccer. It's not about college soccer. It's about the inner workings of college soccer.
Well, Don, thank you so much for everything you do in college soccer with the recruiting process and making sure everyone is educated on how to go about everything. It was so fun to learn about your experience in the soccer world and really where you see college recruiting headed. Thanks so much for coming on the Unite Soccer Coaches podcast.
Oh, thank you. And I am absolutely thrilled to death. Of all of the podcasts I've been on, this is going to rank in my top two or three, just because I've been a member of the association for going back when the old name change was there, right? I've got awards hanging in my office from the association. And what United Soccer Coaches does, by the way, and I know your audience knows this, it is one of the more open, welcoming organizations that are involved around college soccer. People, please don't lump them in with other organizations as far as the education, how they handle things, how they open. And so for me, this has been a thrill. Thank you for inviting me.